Anna Felton, with her grandson as well, and son and the daughter. It is kind of funny, the, I guess, consistency and some of the thoughts that we had in preparing, but I guess I had kind of a unique opportunity or experience growing up. My mom and I lived with my grandparents for the first several years of our life in the Rectory at Redeemer, and I actually remember being a cool place, my favorite house. It was scary at some point, but I think that's where some of my earliest memories of my grandparents came from. And there was on the second story, there was a long hallway that went from two staircases, and I used to run back and forth. But in the morning, when I was pretty young, I remember it's like one of the first memories I have of running, kind of getting up. You know, the kids are ready to go; they want to face the day. What's happening? And I would run down the hallway. And I would open the door. I don't know if they were sleeping or they were kind of awake, but there was some kind of system where I knew I could go in, and I would go in, jumping between them and bed. And they would be fine with it. They would let me just kind of hang out with them, and they'd be kind of waking up, and we would just kind of pretend like I was sleeping a little bit, and then we would get up and go. But it was that was just one of the first memories I think I had that was so special. I think that's where. I think another favorite memory kind of originated. My grandfather had this chair. It was like this kind of Scandinavian sort of wooden rocking chair / recliner. And it was kind of weird because in order to fully recline, you kind of like let yourself feel like you were going to fall back. But he had it down. But it was the coolest chair, but it was kind of funky. But I think it was either after dinner, we would, I don't know if it was on once a week, there was a guy named Marty Stover who had a nature show on PBS. And it was kind of like the biggest treat to get to go after that. It was after dinner. Either we'd walk around the block with an ice cream cone, or we'd sit in his chair and watch Marty Stover together. It was just kind of this cool treat. And I feel like he had that chair actually until they moved to Minnesota. It actually caused him to fall all the time. So it was kind of that love-hate relationship. But he sat in that chair every day besides Sunday when he would watch the news. He watched the nightly news, and Nana would be, my grandmother would be making dinner. And he watched the world news. It was the most important one was the world news came on first, and then a little bit of the PBS News Hour. And once the local news came on, it kind of wasn't really important. But my grandmother would make a cup of fruit. It was like an appetizer. Everyone got a cup of fruit, and we'd sit and watch the news. And he'd be in that chair, and he was really intent on watching, like paying attention. So you couldn't talk. First off, he did have grade every 1 year, so it was very loud. He couldn't talk until commercial, and he would mute the TV at commercial break. But he was so intent on, what was going on in the news. So I just, that chair is always, and him sitting in that is one of these consistent memories I have of them over the years. So anyway, we lived in that house till he actually was moved out to this church, and we all left Redeemer and the rectory. My mom moved to another area, and they came out here, and so I got to go visit. A lot of the same things. They were so simple in how they lived, but they had such an consistent kind of rhythm every day. We'd take a walk every day, and she would be up in the morning, have the quiet time. It was a really cool routine that they had. But when it was time to leave, my grandmother would always, when you're there, she'd be trying to push stuff on the whole time. If you had a cut, she'd be like, put this on it. Yeah, speak about she trying to put a crest toothpaste on it. But she'd always be trying to push something on you. It was food. And I think whenever I went home, when my mom picked me up or whatever, they dropped me off, she'd always give me like a baggie with these gifts in it. And there's two things I remember. There was like dental giveaways from my dentist, and a toothbrush. And she like had like the world's biggest stockpile of stuff. She always gave it to me. And then she always slipped money in my pocket or my bag. And I always took it. I was like, yeah. I wonder if my grandfather knew how many tens and twenties she gave away in those years. I love getting to go stay with them. So I guess, one of the things that I always felt they had time for was to visit. And it was, visiting at a meal that, they ate at the table 3 meals a day. And there's always time to visit, or it was in their living room. There'd be time for you to sit around the couches and sorry. just kind of visit, but they always had time to listen. They wanted to know what was going on in your life. So if you called them, you know, Papa, they'd kind of share the phone, and whoever answered, he would, when my grandfather would get the phone, he would say, he had this kind of deep voice. If you heard him preach ever, he would, when he would preach the gospel or you know, scripture, he kind of really tried to belt it out, and he would say, "Hi, everyone. This is Papa." And so it's like, okay, we're Papa now. But he would, he, maybe more his later years, he would, you know, they wanted to know what was going on. They wanted this to, they wanted to hear the news. So he would say, "Hi, what's up?" And this guy said, "What's up? What's going on?" And he wasn't trying to be like, "Cool, is this, what's up? What's the news?" And they always had time just to listen. And I just appreciate that. I would talk to them all the time. And I think as I got older, my grandfather, I would ask him a lot of advice. And I'd ask him both, but they had a lot of times my grandfather would get the phone with my grandfather. He, you know, I just wanted him to kind of give me the answer, like, what do I do here? What's not sure, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's a little frustrating. I think it's sort of synonymous with what other, some of the things have been said before me, and particularly that he would say, I don't know, he would, he'd say, I don't know. He just said, Andrew, the most important thing is that you know the Lord's love for you. Like in all these decisions, the most important thing is for you just to know. He said, just know and understand this. And I remember, and I'm thinking like, well, yes, that's not what I'm looking for. Something else. But I think he said, that's all you need. That's really all you need, Andrew, in the situation the Lord's going to take care of. Yeah, he said that anybody who talked to him in that situation, but I think that's all he really thought that you needed. And so that could then take some time to kind of process and be okay, you know, agree with. But I just remember him, I have a firm just memory of him saying those things, especially the last few years of us talking on the phone. So I have a verse for each. Well, really, for my grandmother. One thing about my grandfather, I think, just to say also, is he had a tender heart. And I don't think he had a tender heart for everything. You know, he was, you know, one time a naval pilot, and, you know, tough as one, right? But I think he had a tender heart for the Lord's work in his own life, in his past, and for God's work in other people's hearts. Particularly, somebody coming to know the Lord, or a sinner coming awakened to the love and grace of God. And whenever he would tell stories, he would kind of tear up that part where he's thinking, God did this. It was, he was talking about maybe passing the naval pilot exam where he thought he was going to fail. He said, the Lord was there with me, helping me fly this perfect figure eight to pass. And he would just kind of tear up and say, it touched him deeply, I think, that God was looking out for him, working in his life. And I think it also came out when he was talking about other people, whether it was a saint or a friend or somebody he knew from the clinic. I remember, you know, he told me a story about this guy, and things that happened in this clinic, and he would say, and that's just how the Lord did it. He would kind of tear up, and just, I think he had a special place in his heart for that moment where the Holy Spirit of God worked in someone's heart and turned them towards His grace. And he just kind of reveled in it. Okay, one verse from my grandmother that really was, a couple friends kind of shared with me, they thought it was appropriate. It's appropriate about Anna, too. I think Paul says it about Timothy, and I think it's true for Anna and our family, too, but it's 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells with you. And I think we are all very thankful for her faith, which is extended and really, you know, being that I don't want to say rock, but just one of the things. So I think the last thing, two more things. It's kind of weird to be here now and realize that it's and I say that because I remember when I was a kid and my mom and I were in Heights, and I don't know why, but I was crying and so confused and distraught with the idea of death, and I couldn't comprehend it. And I don't know mom called my grandfather on the phone with me, and I was just telling him, he's like, what's up, what's the problem? And I have no idea what he said, I don't really remember all, but I do remember just having a sense of peace afterwards. I know she went to bed that night, of his confidence of heaven and the idea that we were going to be okay, and God's plan for our lives, for the believer. And so I just, it's kind of weird to be here now and think about what's going on with him, what's it like for them, and him kind of dead hope, I guess, really living into this problem that they really hope in. And as I was thinking about that, just a few weeks ago, I was thinking about some verses that kind of came to mind, and they were from Revelation. I don't really like Revelation very often, but there's three verses that really came to my mind, and that was Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. 2:17, to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. And I'll give you a white stone with a new name written on the stone so that no one knows except the one who receives it. And 3:5. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.